Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Sunday, August 9th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as shortstop Cooper Pratt was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. The timeline for Pratt's return is unclear, and with Joey Ortiz dealing with a potential neck injury, David Hamilton filled in at shortstop for the Brewers, with Andrew Vaughn taking over at the hot corner. I hadn't even realized he was getting playing time at third base this year, but that's already 8 appearances at third base for Andrew Vaughn. And for anybody keeping track at home, Vaughn should get third base eligibility in most leagues in just 2 more starts. If Joey Ortiz does avoid an IL stint, he's likely to be the everyday shortstop moving forward until Pratt returns, with Hamilton and Vaughn likely platooning at the hot corner. Second base slash outfielder Jihwan Bae signed a minor league contract and had his contract selected from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Griffin Jacks was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow discomfort. It makes a little sense given Jacks' transition from the bullpen to the rotation that came without a decrease in velocity. Given the nature of the injury to Jacks, the Rays are unlikely to rush him back in the minimum time. He's been excellent this year. I'm really hoping that he comes back at full strength and very soon. Reliever Michael Grove was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, and he has the ability to provide length out of the bullpen if the Rays don't directly replace Jacks in the rotation. In terms of transactions, outfielder Austin Hayes signed a major league contract with the San Diego Padres and hit a pinch hit home run in his Padres debut. Hayes is likely going to be on the short side of a designated hitter platoon, but he does have the ability to fill in the corner outfield for the Padres. Third baseman Gage Workman was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Michael Soroka is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start versus the Rockies. He's been out for a month and a half with a glute strain. I think he only threw 60-something pitches in his final rehab start, so he'll still be a little bit limited in his return to the mound, but he does get rocky road, so he'll be in the questionable start tier for me. I think Nick has him in the do not start tier. Next, starting pitcher Blake Snell is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL tomorrow to start versus the Royals. He's missed 2.5 months after undergoing surgery to remove loose bodies from his elbow. Snell underwent the same surgery that Scooble did, the one that Scott Boras dubbed the Scooble scope with the nano needle. So his return was a lot faster than we would have normally expected. It wasn't as fast as Scooble's, but Snell should come back at relatively full strength, and the Dodgers just continue to inch towards that full strength club that they love to have when it comes time to make the playoffs. And lastly, starting pitcher Nick Lodolo is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL tomorrow to start on the south side of Chicago. Lodolo has been out for about a month with a finger blister. That's something he's been dealing with all season. It kept him out for the first month of the season as well. We're going to be keeping an eye on his ability to spin his breaking balls. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Sunday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with designated hitter Kyle Schwarber, who helped the Phillies to win against the Blue Jays, going 2-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in, 3 walks, and a steal to complete the combo meal. That's 35 home runs on the season now for Schwarber and 3 steals. The first homer went 378 feet at 102 miles per hour, and the second one went 448 feet at 108 miles per hour. It was the furthest hit ball of the day on Sunday, and Schwarber's 35 home runs are tied for the major league home run lead with Yordan Alvarez. Next, we have first baseman Pete Alonso, who helped the Orioles to win in Texas against the Rangers, going 3-for-3 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in, and 2 walks for good measure. Alonso's up to 25 home runs now. The first one went 393 feet at 104 miles per hour, and the second one went 404 feet at 101 miles per hour. And I don't think I've mentioned Alonso this year, or at least I haven't mentioned him much. And that's not because he hasn't deserved it, but more so because he's been steadily great all year. And that's not a departure from what he's done throughout his career. He's always been somebody who's just been steadily dominant in the power department. And Alonso is carrying this Orioles offense this year. I don't know if it's going to be enough to propel them to the playoffs, but he is well on his way to his 6th straight 30 home run season. And I think it would be 7 if you count the 2019 season, or even 8 straight if that 2020 season was played all the way through. But Alonso is one of the best power hitters of his time, and StatCast even suggests that Alonso is due for a blazing hot second half, as he's been underperforming his expected metrics all year. Lastly, we've got outfielder Griffin Conine, who helped the Marlins to win against the Angels, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 3 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 12 homers now. The first one went 434 feet at 115 miles per hour, which made it the hardest hit ball of the day on Sunday. The second homer went 368 feet at 96 miles per hour. The son of legendary Marlins starting pitcher Jeff Conine, Griffin is establishing himself as a power bat to fear in the majors. He's on a full season pace north of 30 home runs thanks to impressive batted ball metrics, including a 15% barrel rate and a brand new 115 mile per hour max exit velocity that he set with his first home run on Sunday. There are some drawbacks to all that power, though. Conine strikes out north of 30% of the time, and he struggles to hit left-handed pitching, forcing him into an outfield platoon. But when he does get in the lineup, he hits in the middle of the order and he absolutely mashes. Conine's older than you'd expect for a player with just 106 games under his belt, but at 28 years old, he should still have some life left in his bat as long as the strikeouts don't get out of hand. The power from Griffin Conine is undeniable. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Sunday, check out the Daily Batter's Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Cam Schlittler, who did all he could, but the Yankees lost to the Braves. He tossed 7 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking nobody while striking out 11. He induced 23 whiffs with 35% CSW across 96 pitches, and Schlittler earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 23 whiffs on Sunday. And it's going to be a fierce race between Schlittler and Dylan Cease for the Cy Young Award in the American League down the stretch. Among American League pitchers, Schlittler leads with a 2.21 ERA and 146 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's second in the AL with a 0.93 whip and a 1.96 batting average against. He's third with 182 strikeouts, and he's fifth with 10 wins. My money's on Cam Schlittler. Next, we have Sean Manaea in Pittsburgh. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, no walks, 11 strikeouts, 19 whiffs, 42% CSW across 91 pitches for Manaea as he helped the Mets to a win in Pennsylvania. Manaea earned the King Cole by leading baseball with those 42% with that 42% CSW, and he set a season high with 11 strikeouts, fanning more batters than he has since August of 2024. Manaea is throwing a couple ticks harder, sitting 93 miles per hour with his four-seamer and not the sub-90 mile per hour stuff we saw earlier in the year. And with an exceptional sweeper as well as a funky delivery, Manaea is overwhelming batters with his two-pitch mix. He does have a trio of other offerings that he rarely touches, and he hasn't really needed them. The Pirates struggle against southpaws, so this was an ideal matchup for Manaea, but I think he would have dominated regardless. Four-seamers induced 10 whiffs, 40% CSW, and 80% strikes, while sweepers were equally as effective with 8 whiffs, 41% CSW, and 72% strikes. That's a 2.16 ERA and a 25% strikeout rate across Manaea's last four starts. And with the post-deadline Nationals up next, they don't have Curtis Meade, they have no James Wood, he's on the IL, and they have no Luis Garcia Jr., so that lineup is much less scary. We are starting Manaea everywhere. Next, we've got Jesus Luzardo versus the Blue Jays as he helped the Phillies to win, tossing 7 innings, allowing 4 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 1 while striking out 12. He induced 18 whiffs with 41% CSW across 100 pitches. And you thought 11 strikeouts was dope. Try a dozen punchouts. Luzardo has been one of the premier strikeout artists this year with 176 strikeouts through 24 starts, landing him in the top 5 on the MLB strikeout leaderboard. This was a game of absolute sweeper domination. The breaker induced a whopping 16 whiffs and 46% CSW, propelling Luzardo to another excellent performance. He got off to a really rough start through his first 4 starts of the season, but since then he has a 2.45 ERA and a 30% strikeout rate across his last 20 starts. The Phillies trio of Jesus Luzardo, Christopher Sanchez, and Zach Wheeler might be unstoppable this postseason. And lastly, we've got Eduardo Rodriguez, who helped the Diamondbacks to win against the Dodgers, tossing 7 innings, allowing 5 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 2 while striking out 9, inducing 17 whiffs with 27% CSW across 115 pitches. And Rodriguez has been Dodgers' kryptonite this year. Across 4 starts, he's pitched to a 1.88 ERA, and this might have been the best of them all, as he set a season high with 17 whiffs and 9 strikeouts. Per usual from E-Rod, it was impeccable command of a 5-pitch mix that the Dodgers couldn't figure out. High 4-seamers avoided damage with 18 foul balls, while changeups earned tons of chases for 11 whiffs and 5 strikeouts. Rodriguez's command has rarely wavered this year, giving him a 2.70 ERA through 24 starts, which is a top 10 mark in all of baseball. Rodriguez's stuff is not overwhelming, but it's been a season-long Vargas rule propelled by command that has not faded throughout the year. And given his success here against the Dodgers, we're not going to give up on this hot streak now, even in Atlanta up next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Sunday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Tyler Holton struck out the side in order in the 10th for his second save. Kenley Jansen also struck out the side in order with the score tied in the 9th and earned his 3rd win when the Tigers took the lead. Hogan Harris recorded his 11th save with a scoreless 9th, and it looks like he's just the standalone closer now in Sacramento. Tyler Kinley recorded his first save with a perfect 10th. Raisel Iglesias pitched a perfect 9th in a tie game in that one and earned his first win when the Braves took the lead. Trevor Richards worked around a run in the 9th for his first save of the season. The White Sox clearly didn't want to push Grant Taylor for back-to-back days after he threw 40 pitches on Thursday, but I would have expected him to come in here if not for the heavy workload recently, though Trevor Richards in a save situation is certainly a bit surprising. Riley O'Brien recorded his National League leading 29th save. He's tied with Mason Miller for the National League lead. He threw a perfect 9th on Sunday. Kevin Ginkle also threw a perfect 9th for his first save, as Brandon Garcia was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. And lastly, Steven Matz pitched a perfect 9th for his first save, as Brian Baker was unavailable following his pitching on back-to-back days. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Dylan Smith struck out the side in order with the score tied in the 9th. The Giants would go on to lose in 10 innings. Aroldis Chapman surrendered the go-ahead run in a tie game in the 9th inning to take his 4th loss. Yoan Duran pitched a scoreless 9th in a tie game that the Phillies would go on to win in 12 innings. Cade Smith pitched a perfect 8th with the Guardians trailing by 1. Smith hadn't pitched since Wednesday, and the Guardians are off today, so they were giving him a maintenance outing on Sunday. Trevor McGill pitched a perfect 9th in a tie game that the Brewers would walk off in the 10th against Yoendrys Gomez, who allowed the zombie runner to score in the 10th to take his 2nd loss of the season. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Monday, August 10th, a day in which we'll have just 10 games on the slate. How fitting. My matchup of the day is Freddy Peralta versus Jacob Lopez. This one's in Sacramento, so it's going to be a challenge for both pitchers. And Peralta has struggled mightily this year. I thought going to Tampa Bay would sort of fix him, the change of scenery, the incredible pitching development that they have. But he got blown up right away in his season, in his club franchise debut for the Rays. And I'm hoping Peralta can turn things around here in this challenge of a matchup, while Jacob Lopez is looking like he's going to go on a second half streak very similar to the impressive one he went on last year, where he just strikes out everybody and does so under the radar, and I'm excited to see him continue to do so on Monday. In terms of probable starters, we've got four guys in the auto starts tier: Tarek Skubal versus the Royals, Logan Henderson in San Diego, Trevor Rogers in Minnesota, and Sonny Gray in Toronto. Our probably starts tier has two guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Jacob Lopez versus the Rays. I just talked about him. Where were you? But Lopez is on a heater right now, and it's not something that's out of nowhere. We saw him do this with the same type of command of four seamers and cutters upstairs with low sliders. I do want to see his changeup come alive a little bit to give him that fourth pitch that can really help against right-handed batters. But right now, I'm trusting Jacob Lopez everywhere. I'd also keep an eye out for Hayden Wesneski in San Francisco. He's got an incredible sweeper with some of the most horizontal movement in all of baseball. He's pitching for a team that has a good chance at a win for the Astros. He's pitching against the Giants, whose lineup has not been very strong this year. And he's pitching in Oracle Park, which is one of the best pitchers' parks in baseball. So target Hayden Wesneski in San Francisco. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Red Sox hitters versus Jameson Taillon in Rogers Center. I like Taillon, but he does have a 5.96 ERA on the season. I'd also target Orioles hitters versus Dean Kramer in Target Field. It's Kramer's revenge game after the Orioles traded him to the Twins, but maybe emotions might get the best of him. Also, he's not been great this year. 5.93 ERA from Dean Kramer. And lastly, I target Rays and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park. Yep, Freddy Peralta versus Jacob Lopez again. We're talking about this matchup again. Both of those guys do have ERAs over 5, though I have just praised Jacob Lopez a bunch. However, this is in Sutter Health Park, so you got to target the hitters in that one. Now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Hogan Harris has pitched on back-to-back days, so Elvis Alvarado is your best bet at a save for the A's. Yoandrés Gómez has pitched in 3 of the past 4 days, so if the Twins elect to give Gómez a day off, Jeff Hoffman should be the first man up in the 9th inning. Trevor Megill has pitched on back-to-back days, but so have both Abner Uribe and Aaron Ashby. In these situations, we've surprisingly seen Chad Patrick step up in the 9th inning. He has 5 saves on this season. And lastly, Yoan Duran has pitched on back-to-back days and in 4 of the past 5, but so has Orion Kirkring. So Jonathan Bolin is your best bet at a save out of the Phillies bullpen on Monday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.